Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
So we come this morning to verse 12, forgive us our debts. What action takes place when God answers that prayer? Father, forgive me. What does it mean? What actually happens when God says, okay, I will forgive you? What does it mean? And when it happens, how do you know when it's happened? Is it an experience? Is it something you experience? And if so, what is that experience like? God is not an impersonal force floating out there somewhere. He is the ultimate person, and he responds emotionally to what we do. Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Ever stop to think what an unspeakable horror it is to have the Creator mad at you? That's the most mind-destroying horror imaginable. That's one effect of sin, but that's not the only effect that sin has. Another thing that happens when you sin is it produces guilt. Guilt. And guilt has two parts. The fact that you are actually guilty, and also the fact that you feel guilty. So there's actual guilt, and then there's guilt feelings. Let's think about the first one first. Actually being guilty. When you are guilty, justice demands punishment. That's what you deserve. God is a God of perfect justice, and so every sin that has ever been committed will be punished. No exceptions. Nothing gets overlooked ultimately. Every sin that's ever been committed will be punished. Exodus 34:7, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That word wages speak of what you've earned, right? What you deserve. Deserving. Every time a person sins, he earns, deserves punishment. No matter how sorry you feel, no matter how much you've worked to reform yourself, no matter how much you've tried to make up for what you've done, the guilt remains. And you can do nothing to reduce that guilt in any way, ever. You cannot reduce it. If I murder someone and the next day I help an old lady across the street, I'm still a murderer. I'm still just as guilty of murder as ever, even though I helped an old lady across the street, right? If 99 days out of 100 I don't commit adultery, I'm an adulterer. If I feel terrible afterwards, I'm still guilty. And I still deserve to be punished. Once you earn a wage, you deserve that wage, no matter what you do afterwards. Notice the word that Jesus used here in the Lord's Prayer for sin. He doesn't say sin. He says debts. Forgive us our debts. He calls the guilt of our sin a debt. Anytime you wrong someone, you owe it to that person to make it up to them. You owe it to them to make it up to them. You owe it to make things right. I was telling somebody last week, I borrowed a laser bore sighter for sighting in a rifle before we went hunting. A bore sighter, you stick it into the end of your rifle, and it's a laser pointer. You point at the target, then you look through the scope and see if the little red dot matches up with your crosshairs, and you know if your gun's sighted in. Then you remove it from the barrel and fire a shot at the target to see if it worked. And that's what I did with Josiah's rifle last week before we went hunting, except I skipped one step. I forgot about the part about removing it out of the barrel before you shoot. And so I then fired a live 30-30 round from the gun, and it's the only bullseye I've ever had. I nailed that laser, that $150 laser sighter, dead center, blew it to smithereens. And it was a borrowed laser sighter, by the way. And so the moment I pulled that trigger, the split second I pulled that trigger, I incurred a debt. Right? Actually, I incurred two debts because it wasn't even my gun either. It was Josiah's gun, his brand new rifle that he got for his birthday and never even shot one time. And the barrel just exploded. I've got it in my car. I'll show it to you if you want. So now I've got to make it right. I've got to replace that laser sighter and replace the barrel of that gun. Now, I tell you that story because that's a good example of a payable debt. Hopefully, I can take care of that. Hopefully, I can just replace the laser sighter with the exact same one, replace the barrel, and there's going to be no hard feelings. Not every wrong is that easy to make up for, is it? What if there had been somebody next to me when I fired and the shrapnel from the exploding barrel blinded them for life? Or what if somebody's little kid was standing there, their little daughter, and she was killed? How would I ever make that up to them? How would I ever make it right? Impossible. There's nothing I could do to make up for that. Ever. That person would either have to forgive me, or I would just simply have to live the rest of my life indebted to him. There's nothing I could do to make up for that. It's unpayable. And all sin is in that unpayable category. All sin against God. Unpayable. That's what Jesus was getting at in Matthew 18, 23, when he was telling a parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and they began the settlement. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 is the biggest number in the Greek language. A talent is the biggest denomination. This is the most money you can conceive of. A talent is 600 denarii. A denarius was a day's wage. So 10,000 talents is 6 million days' wages. That means if you work 6 days a week and you never spent one single dime of your income, saved 100% of it, it would take almost 200,000 years to earn that much money. Now, Jesus is making up a story. When you make up a story, you can make any detail however you want. He could have put any number in there that he wants. Why does Jesus pick such a ridiculously large number? 200,000 years' wages. There wasn't even that much money. There was not even 10,000 talents worth of money in circulation in the Roman Empire at that time. Jesus is saying, this guy owes the king more money than there is in the whole world. The point is, it's unpayable. Every sin we've ever committed against God is an unpayable debt. There's nothing you could ever do in this life to make up even for one sin. If when you were 5 years old, you told a little white lie, and then the rest of your life you were perfect, absolutely perfect. You never did anything but good deeds the rest of your life until you died. Still, it would not make up for that sin because the standard for us every day is holiness. You can never do more than holiness to earn a little credit. The most you could ever do is holiness. And so it's impossible to ever make up for a sin. Sin is not like ruining somebody's laser sighter that you can replace. It's more like putting somebody's eyes out or killing someone's child. Every sin adds another unpayable debt. And so far, you and I have racked up about 200,000 years' wages worth of debt and counting. We're the servant in Matthew 18. And the astonishing thing about this servant in the story is he says, be patient with me and I will pay back everything. He just had no concept of how much he owed. And that's really offensive, isn't it? I mean, if my carelessness with the gun killed someone's child, and I went to the guy and I said, oh, here, let me make it up to you, and I handed him a $5 bill, what an insult that would be. And the really sickening thing is not only do we tend to do that with God, but we even go beyond that sometimes and imagine that God is indebted to us. He owes us something. People think God owes them. They ask God for something. They just really, really, really want something. They pray for it. They ask God for it. He doesn't give it to them, and so now they're mad at him. Or they endure some horrible suffering for his name, and now he owes them. Or they go to church every week, and they read their Bible every day, and they pray every day, and they give 10% in the offering, and now they feel like they've earned the right for a little enjoyment, a little dalliance in sin, a little laziness, or some other sin. They've earned it. God owes them. They owe 200,000 years' wages, and they're standing before the king with their hand out saying, pay up! God have mercy on our souls for how much we've underestimated the magnitude of our guilt before Him.
One of the most common words used in advertising today is the word deserve. For many years, McDonald's assured us that we all deserve a break today. Commercial after commercial promises to deliver all the wonderful things that we deserve. The pillows they're selling won't deliver a great night's sleep you want. It's always the great night's sleep you deserve. In the movies, everyone in a bad relationship deserves someone better. Advertisers know what motivates people to buy. And it seems nothing loosens our purse strings faster than telling us how much we deserve the pleasures, privileges, status, and leisure they have to offer. Although, as deserving as we are, they still make us pay for them, which really doesn't add up. The point is, we love to think of ourselves as deserving, and the world uses that to lead us around by the nose. If we took a little more time to consider what we really deserve, the wage that all our sins against God have earned, we wouldn't be so quick to fall for the enemy's lies when he tempts us with something we know we shouldn't do, but whispers to us, "You deserve it." And beyond that, maybe we'd be a little slower to react with anger when people treat us in a way that falls below what the enemy tells us we deserve. And we certainly wouldn't ever be angry or disappointed with God for not giving us better treatment. Take a few minutes to contemplate these things in an effort to correct any inflated attitudes you might have about what you deserve.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.